I've entitled this morning's sermon, Be Not Afraid, taken from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. I may make some references to the passage before and the passage after to give the complete picture. We've already read the passage, Matthew 28, earlier on when we read about how the women who came very early to the tomb of Jesus early in the morning with spices ready to embalm and to anoint the body of Jesus. This is already the third day after Jesus died. The way the Jews calculate the third day is not 24-hour days, but they count partial days as also one day. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So the first day of the week, Sunday, is the third day. And that's why we said that Jesus rose on the third day. In case some of you are wondering, how come it seems to be different from the way we count our days. And so that's the reason. The Jewish people count partial day as a day. So we say that Jesus has risen on the third day. But the passage we read gives an account of a very discouraged and very fearful group of disciples. And you can imagine why they are discouraged and why they are afraid. Because Jesus, their leader, had died. The leader whom they have followed and learned from and seen the miracles done for the past 3.5 years of Jesus' public ministry. Suddenly, their leader is gone. The leader whom they thought and who claims to be the Son of God, who claims to be their Savior, who claims to be the long-awaited Messiah predicted in the Old Testament passages, the one who is supposed to save them from this world. And they thought that Jesus was going to be the one who would set up the kingdom on earth to overthrow the Roman government. Their leader, their king, the king of the Jews, was suddenly arrested and crucified on the cross, humiliated, shamed publicly. And he looked so helpless on the cross, like the two thieves who were hanging on the right and the left side of him. That was the state of the disciples. They were frightened. They were confused. The one whom they love so much, whom they adore and whom they worship, they enjoyed learning from Jesus for past 3.5 years, suddenly taken away from them in the middle of the night. They awoke to the shock of the soldiers coming to arrest Jesus and how Jesus was unjustly tried and he was crucified on the cross. And they were still reeling from the shock of all that has happened. And they were thinking, now that Jesus has died and is buried, what's going to happen to us? Are we going to be the next persons to be arrested by the chief priest? Will we also go to the prison? Or will we also end up on the cross? They were frightened. They were worried about the future. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And that's the state of the women as well as the disciples, who hurried on the morning of Sunday, the third day, to rush to the tomb to embalm as well as to anoint the body of Jesus. They did that because they didn't have time to do it on Friday, because it was approaching the start of the Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath, that starts on Friday sundown. So at Friday sunset, that's the start of the Jewish Sabbath. And so they were hurriedly trying to bury the body of Jesus, put it in the tomb so that they can rush off to commemorate the Sabbath. And that's why they didn't have time to anoint the body of Jesus. And the women were so worried. By now, Jesus' body would have been smelling, you know, and they wouldn't want Jesus' body to be smelling badly. They want Jesus to be accorded the normal honors, in fact, more honors that he deserved as the Son of God and as their beloved teacher and Messiah and Savior. So that was the state of the women and the disciples. They were very, very afraid. And also, the Roman soldiers are also very afraid because they saw an angel. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid." And subsequently, Jesus appeared to the disciples and told them, "Be not afraid." And that is what we're going to learn today. Why is it that the disciples were told not to be afraid? I think we know that as human beings, we are afraid of many, many things in life. Some of us are afraid of cats. Some of us are afraid of furry animals. Some of us are afraid of spiders. Some of us are afraid of cockroaches. Right, I've said that I'm afraid of cockroaches of the flying type. Whenever you're trying to kill it, it flies towards you, right? Yeah, those dirty stuff. Some of us are afraid of stickers. I saw a documentary on CNA. There's one lady who was very afraid of stickers. So she couldn't bear to buy apples because they have all these little stickers on them. She is so fearful, she has a phobia of stickers. And there's one lady who was afraid of little drain holes. You know, when you shower, you know, there's this drain hose, these little holes where the water drains away. She's afraid of these things because she imagined there's a lot of funny stuff going on. They're coming out from the drain hole. And she's very, very, very fearful of these things. Some of us are very afraid of meeting people, right? We are very afraid of meeting new people and we're not comfortable. Or some of us are afraid of changes in our routine or life. Especially if you're going to a new job, you've got to meet new colleagues. You can be very, very afraid of meeting them. And that's quite normal, right? Because you don't know how your colleagues will be like. Will they welcome you? Will they be friendly? Or will you be backstabbed by them in time to come? And some of the kids are afraid of going to school, especially when they graduated from the kindergarten, they have to go to the primary one. It's a totally new environment, new classmates. They're going to be very afraid. Will I find friends? Oh, I've lost my best friends in the kindergarten. They're not going with me to primary one. We are afraid also, sometimes, of being teased and bullied by our classmates in school. Right? There was once when I was in secondary school, there was a classmate who bullied me. And I was very sad, because he's always teasing me in front of other people. Or some of us are also bullied online. Right, there's cyberbullying, there are online trolls who drove some people to suicide. Some of us are afraid that we will never get married. Some of us are afraid of getting married. Some of us are afraid that after they are married, they will have no children. Some of us are afraid of having children. Some are afraid of ghosts, especially during the 7th month. We seem to be quite creative in the myriad of things that we are afraid of, isn't it? Or some of us are afraid of the uncertain future, given the banking crisis, the rising cost of living, the retrenchments in the tech sector. Some of us are worried that we may lose our jobs. Some of us are worried about the rising cost of living and also the rising rental. Are we able to rent another flat for our families? Or we could, but we have to pay double the rental. How are we going to make ends meet? The disciples of Christ are no different. They were very, very afraid, as I said earlier on. Very, very afraid because they are very, very discouraged. They are very distressed. They are sad and grieving over the loss of their beloved teacher, master, and savior. What are they going to do in the future? And so it was this, in that state that the disciples came to the tomb. And of course, in the previous passage in Matthew 27, there was a disciple of Christ called Joseph. He had a tomb that was carved out of rock, and he willingly offered his tomb to Jesus, where no other bodies had been laid. And they hurriedly requested Pontius Pilate for the body of Jesus to place in this tomb. Right, so this is the Jewish way of burial. Right? It is, they put usually the body in a stone coffin or on a stone bench in a tomb that is above the ground, right? Not underground, above the ground. So in this case, it is a cave. Or if you have a chance to go to Jerusalem or you go and Google Jerusalem Temple Mount, before the Temple Mount, there are a lot of stone coffins, right? So the Jews will bury the dead into the usually in a cave first for a few years until the flesh has rotted away, and then they will take the bones and put it in a small stone coffin. It's called an ossuary, alright? And that is how they bury the dead. In this case, Jesus was placed, his body was placed in this stone cave, this rock cave. Usually is embalmed by spices, but because they didn't have time to do it, he was hurriedly placed there. And the women came on Sunday morning to try to put some spices on the body. But before that, in Matthew 27, verses 62 to 66, the chief priests hurriedly went to Pontius Pilate and told Pontius Pilate to set Roman guards on the tomb. Why did they do so? Because they have heard. They said that that deceiver, that teacher, the Jewish teacher, Jesus, told his disciples that he will rise on the third day. Right? So to prevent, of course we don't believe that, right? So the chief priest said, of course that is not possible. But what may be possible is that the disciples will come in the middle of the night, roll away the stone, and steal the body of Jesus, and then claim that Jesus is alive, or has risen from the dead. Right? So to prevent that from happening, the chief priest told Pontius Pilate, could you please set Roman guards, your strongest and the bravest Roman guards, who are not afraid of ghosts, who are not afraid of the dead, set them in front of the tomb, so that they will guard the tomb, and not allow the disciples to steal the body of Jesus. Alright, and so this is the scene. At the end of the Sabbath, verse 1, it began to dawn just when dawn breaks, towards the first day of the week, on Sunday, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and the other passage in Luke tells us some other disciples as well. They came to see the sepulchre, they came prepared with the spices to anoint the body of Jesus. And what happened? Verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And there was not just one angel. The other account in Luke tells us there were two angels who came. So one came and appeared to the disciples and also appeared to the Roman soldiers who were standing guard in front of the tomb of Jesus. And there was a great earthquake going on. Usually when there's earthquake, it portends some serious event or some ominous event. And in this case, there was a supernatural event because Jesus will be resurrected or has resurrected. And the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it, looking at the Roman guards, staring at them, right? And challenging them. What are you going to do about it? I've rolled the stone away. Verse 3, the Roman soldiers were very, very afraid. Why? Verse 3 tells us, the countenance, the face of the angel was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. It was like lightning. You know, whenever the angel appears to people in the Bible, whether in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, we find that the people are always very afraid. Remember, when the angels appeared to the shepherds abiding in the field, at night, looking after their sheep, the shepherds were very afraid. Why? Because there was a bright light from heaven. The angel's appearance is always in the presence of bright light. And here it is described as lightning. And that helps us to understand, right? Because what happens? How many of you are afraid of lightning and thunder? Well, all so brave, man. Nobody is willing to admit that you're scared. I'm scared of lightning and thunder. There was once when I was driving on PIE, and it was a very dark storm that was going brewing, and suddenly there was blinding lightning. It was so bright. And then thereafter, there was this very loud thunderclap, the loudest I've ever heard. It was as if it was, you know, just right in front of me. We thought that we were struck by lightning in the car, right? It was frightening. Each time when we have lightning, we know there will be a thunderclap coming, right? Especially little kids, huh? Right? When you see the lightning, and then you know, because it's so bright and it is so loud, right? We are very, very frightened of that. And this was the picture of angel. She was so bright, the angel was so bright, that the women could not see the angel. And the Roman soldiers could not bear to see the angel. It was so frightening. when you stand before a supernatural angel, right? And even the Roman guards were trembling, and they were shaking, and they were frightened, because they were in a cemetery. They thought they had seen a ghost, right? Right? How many of you are brave to see ghosts? So brave. You want to see ghosts? Right? How many of you think that you are brave enough to encounter a ghost in the cemetery? I don't think any of us want to see a ghost, right? Or any spirits flying around in the cemetery. Right. Verse 4, the Roman soldiers were very, very afraid because they do not know Jesus. Remember, they were mocking Jesus. Some of them speared Jesus at the sight. Some of them nailed Jesus on the cross. And now you have the ghost appearing before Jesus. Of course, the Roman soldiers didn't know the angels. Maybe some of them know it could be an angel. They probably thought it was the ghost of Jesus appearing before them. And so they were so frightened, they were trembling, they were petrified, they were shaking. And even though they were Roman battle-hardened soldiers, they were frightened. They became as dead men. They froze to the ground. They didn't dare to move. None of them used their weapon to fight the angel. Right? They were so scared of the angel. And not only that, they probably knew that they were sinners and they are coming before a holy God. And they are not able to defend themselves because they have sinned against God. They have crucified the Son of God because they do not know Jesus, and judgment is upon them. And that's what happens when you do not know Jesus. You are fearful of a lot of things. You are fearful of ghosts. You are fearful of evil spirits. You are fearful of the unknown and of the future. And this was the state of the Roman soldiers. The Roman soldiers represent sinners, unbelievers, what we were before we were born again. I remember before I was saved, I was very worried about my future. I was very worried that I would die before I became an adult. I was very worried that I would never get a job. I was very worried that I would never get married. What if I cannot find a lady who loves me? What if I cannot get married? I will be so sad for the rest of my life. Or what if I see a ghost? I may go crazy. Or what if I contract an illness? As I've heard when I was growing up, people around us suddenly had a virus and they passed away. Or suddenly they became paralyzed. So when I was growing up, I was fearful of sickness, all kinds of superstition, of death, and also of God's judgment and hellfire. And perhaps this is what the Roman soldiers felt in a flash. All their sins appeared before them. When they appeared before this angel, this angelic being, so bright as lightning, sitting on top of the stone, with superhuman power rolling back the stone, that perhaps required many Roman soldiers to do the same. Dare any one of them challenge the angel? They knew that they are coming before a supernatural being. And they knew that because they are coming before a holy being, they are unholy, they are sinful, they are going to be judged by God. And they are very, very afraid because they do not know Jesus. John chapter 3 verses 16 and 18 gives us a marked contrast between believers and non-believers. Or you can put yourself, your name in there. When I have come to Christ, and before I came to Christ. Verse 16, for the believer. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the believer who has received everlasting life. Because we have believed in Jesus, we are so loved by God. And we know that we are basking in the love of God. And every day of our life, we can be joyful. We can be trusting in Jesus because Jesus loves me. Even if the rest of the world, nobody loves me, that's okay. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Right? So even on our deathbed, we know that Jesus loves me and He has died for me. And that's what John Newton, the former slave trader, said, you know, and then after he became a believer, he became a pastor, and he gave his life to serve God. And when he was in his old age, he said that, I cannot remember many things, but I know one thing. I am a great sinner, but Jesus is a great Savior. He is so great that He can cover all my sins. Verse 18, he that believeth on Jesus is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And that's the state of non-believers. They are condemned, they are bound for hell. That was my state of misery. I didn't know what was happening in the world. I was lost in my sin. I was miserable. I didn't know where I was going. I don't know what was going to happen tomorrow. Will I die tomorrow of some illness? Will I fail my exams? Will I be a failure in life? Am I going to hell because I have not believed in the Son of God? John chapter 3 verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not Jesus, the Son of God, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We are under the wrath of God when we do not know Jesus. And Hebrews 9:27 tells us, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And after that we die, if we die in our sins, we will be judged by God. And therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We persuade non-believers, come and believe in Jesus. Knowing the terror of a holy God who is sitting in judgment of sinful men and women. We cannot bear the judgment of God. What are you going to say before a holy God when you are called to be judged by God? What are you going to say to God? What excuses are you going to give to God that you have not trusted in Jesus? What kind of excuses can you give? None. Because all these excuses will be nothing before a holy God. We will be terrified before a holy judge. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we thank God that we need not be like the Roman soldiers. We need not be terrified by them, because we can be like the women disciples or the disciples of Christ who have trusted in Jesus, that they were not afraid. And they were assured by the angel, do not be afraid. Verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. You know Jesus. You are seeking Jesus. You have believed in Jesus. You are different from these Roman soldiers who have not trusted in Jesus. You know Jesus, therefore you do not have to be afraid. Because the good news is that he is not dead, but he is alive. He is risen from the dead. Fear not, you that seek Jesus, which was crucified. You can come to a risen Savior. You do not need to be afraid of death, because Jesus lives. Verse 6, he is not here, for he is risen, the angel said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. What are the implications that Jesus is risen? Because Jesus is risen, he has conquered death for us. And because he has conquered death for us, we will not die. Jesus died for us so that we need not die. He has paid the penalty of all our sins. And because Jesus rose from the dead, he was resurrected, he is the first fruits of our resurrection. And the empty tomb that the angel showed to the women and to the disciples proved that Jesus is not in the tomb. He has risen. Death could not contain Jesus because he is risen from the dead. He had victory over death, and he had removed the sting of death on our behalf. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 to 57. Let's read these three verses together. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The sting of death. What is the main thing that we are most fearful of before we were a Christian? Before we come to Christ? Death, right? All of us are afraid of death. But Jesus has removed the sting of death from us. The poison of death due to sin has been removed for us, because he has paid the penalty of all our sins, past, present and future, on the cross at Calvary. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And because he has removed sin from us, the penalty of sin is death. Therefore, death is also removed from the Christian. So for every child of God, death is not the end, but the entrance into heaven that Jesus has proclaimed and has secured for us. Therefore, we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why Jesus could tell the dying thief who had believed in him, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Not 1,000 years later. Not that you have to go through purgatory. Your relatives have to pray for you, or to buy indulgence papers for you, right, so that you can spring out of purgatory of suffering. No. There is no purgatory in the Bible. The Bible teaches us, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Just like the dying thief who could do nothing, no good works to show his faith. Jesus says, "You are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone." And therefore the dying thief was received into paradise the very same day he died. He was with Jesus. And likewise, it is the same with all of us. And the angels told the disciples, "Go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the tomb, sepulchre, with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that the resurrection of Christ is an important, essential doctrine of the Christian faith. If you believe in the death of Christ, you must also believe in the resurrection of Christ, because the resurrection of Christ proved that he had victory over death, and he has secured victory over death for us who have trusted in him. And he is now the first fruits of the harvest of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's read together verses 20 to 23. "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." So here the Apostle Paul is using the language of harvest, right? The language of harvest, that is the first fruits of durian. Then after that, the rest of the harvest of durian. The first fruits of banana, right? And then the rest of the harvest of banana that will come, right? And so Jesus is the first fruits. And the rest of us who died, we will one day also be resurrected. Just like Jesus had died, he was resurrected. He is the first fruits that have gone ahead of us. We too will die one day, but we will also be resurrected, just like Jesus. Therefore, as believers, we need not be afraid of death. Because death is not a fearful thing. It's not a frightening thing. The Bible tells us that when we die, we shall be carried by the angels into the very presence of Jesus. And so that is why there are many accounts of godly believers. Before they die, they see the angels coming to carry them into heaven. And we will be escorted into the very presence of Jesus. And that is the peace, the hope, and the joy that we have, the eternal life that we have. Verse 9, "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held him by the feet." And Jesus met them in Galilee, as he has told them to go to Galilee and wait for him. He met them, and they saw his feet that was pierced. They saw his nail prints on his wrist, as well as the side where he was pierced. And they worshipped him. They believed that Jesus had indeed been resurrected. And again Jesus assured them, "Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me? Alright? And the Bible teaches us that we need not fear because He is always with us. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Right? Let us read this verse together. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And therefore, we need not be afraid, because He is with us always. And when Jesus is with us, He is our good shepherd. And Psalm 23 tells us, He will walk with us even as we go through the valley of the shadow of death. We will fear no evil, for You are with us. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort us. So today we have seen that we are afraid of many things. And we should be very afraid if we do not know Jesus. But finally, we are now not afraid because we know Jesus. And that is the comfort that we can all have. We need not be afraid of death or of the future or of the unknown because we have Jesus with us. And whenever we are afraid, what can we do? We can pray to Jesus. And we cast all our cares on Jesus because Jesus cares for you. Right? Jesus sees your tears. Whenever you are worried or anxious about anything, you can't do anything about it. But we are not without hope. We have hope in Christ. We can always go to the foot of the cross. Jesus, help me. Lord, only You can help me. And you can trust in Jesus. If you have not known Jesus, today is the day of salvation. Look to Jesus. Trust in Jesus today. Come to Jesus. But you may ask, what can I do? How can I come to Jesus? How can I be saved? As easy as ABC. Firstly, A, admit that I am a sinner needing God's salvation. B, believe in Jesus, who is your Savior. He alone can save you. He says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. C, commit yourself to forsake sin and follow Jesus and follow His word all the days of your life. There are many lessons that we can draw from today's message. Firstly, Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty of all our sins. He was buried. He died so that we need not experience death, but we have eternal life through Him. Secondly, Jesus rose on the third day, proving He had victory over death, over sin, and over Satan. And thirdly, the empty tomb is evidence that Jesus had risen from the dead. Death could not hold Him. His death was a truth, a fact. His resurrection was a fact that nobody could dispute. Yes, the Roman soldiers were telling lies, right? In fact, the subsequent passage in Matthew 28, the subsequent verses, tell us that the Roman soldiers were bribed by the chief priests. Say that the disciples came to steal the body of Jesus. They were bribed to say that, right? And so there was this rumor going around that the disciples came to steal the body of Jesus. But does that stand up to scrutiny? It's impossible. The disciples were so afraid of being arrested by the Roman soldiers. Do you think they dare to go and fight the Roman soldiers? Do you think they can even win in a fight against the Roman soldiers who have the shield and the sword and the spear? It is impossible for the disciples to overcome the soldiers, to have victory over them, or to steal even the body of Jesus. For, because Jesus lived, we live also. We too will one day be resurrected, and when we die, we will immediately be with Jesus in heaven. And because Jesus lives, we need not be afraid of the future. He knows my tomorrow. His will for me is the best. And when we know that His will is the best for me, I just need to trust in Jesus. Even if I have to go through suffering and testing, I know that Jesus is with me. And finally, let us consecrate our new lives to God. Right? Let us rededicate ourselves, just like our new members today. Let us remember our first love, rekindle our first love. Let us be zealous. Let us burn out for Christ. Let us do the work of God. Let us serve Him faithfully, empowered by the Holy Spirit, be His loving witnesses to a dying world. And I love this song written by Bill Gather and his wife Gloria, and with lyrics that are amended by Reverend Timothy Toh. And just read this first stanza to you. God sent His Son, they call Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty tomb is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living. Just because He lives. Let us pray. Father, we give You thanks even for Jesus who died for us and He rose for us, proving He had victory over death. And just as He was resurrected, one day we too will be resurrected. And we look forward to live eternal life, to be with Jesus in heaven forever and ever. And until then, Lord, help us to soldier on, to be Your faithful witnesses, to love others as You would have us love them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.